The star is here. Hitting record because the star has walked in to the theater. His
thunderous
name is
applause,
Daniel. Adeus Shun.
Thunderous applause, Daniel. I have a question for everyone.
Good.
Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you?
I don't know this song.
Yeah, I don't know either.
What's the chorus?
Where are you going to?
What's the chorus?
Do you know? It's a Diana Ross song. She sang that bad
boy. Wow. Okay.
Okay. Well, anyway, listen, I'm very nervous, you guys. We have so much to talk about. But tonight, I'm doing a very limited screening of my film, A Good Person, for some friends for the first time. And Donald Faison
will
be
there.
In attendance.
Wow. I will be there.
Wow.
Excellent.
I will be up in that piece.
Wow. Yes. Okay. Now, don't try and like steal focus from the movie and...
Well, I'm trying to get another job, bro. I'm going to, you know, there's a bunch of very affluential people.
Yes,
up
there
in
will
there.
Be some influential people. And,
that's what I meant.
I need
that
you
too.
To not. I need you to not.
Affluent and influential.
Get up there. Yeah, there will be affluent.
I got to do my show. I got to do my show.
I need
okay?
you to not get up there and start doing the fucking dance you do.
I'm trying to be in the next Marvel movie, Feige.
Okay, well,
you know
Feige's
this.
Not going to be at the friends and family screening.
Well, what the fuck am I going there for? Then I'm just kidding.
Wow. You are a friend, and I need your opinion on
Let
on
me
any
ask you a question.
You have. Yes.
Will anybody in the Star Wars or Marvel universe or DC universe be up in attendance?
No. They are not part of my
I just learned
group.
That I just learned that some
that
shit
you're busy
has
tonight.
Come up.
Damn.
It's only, you know, a tight group of people that, you know, you do this for those of you not in the business because, as I've mentioned before, you've only been two people sitting in a room staring at a computer, my editor, Dan Schalk, and I, and you need some new eyeballs. You need people to say, hey, that's really working, or hey, this part is a bit slow, or hey, this part is moving as hell, or hey, obviously, it goes without saying, you see where there's humor, if people laugh and all that stuff. So tonight I have butterflies. I feel like it's a big day for me because it's the very first time anyone other than me and my editor and a few others will have seen it.
But it's going to be great.
This is a great opportunity too, though.
Yeah.
You're going to learn so much, bro.
Yep.
You're going to learn so much tonight.
Yep.
And so look at it that way. I know you're nervous and everything. I know, but you're going to learn everything. You're going to learn almost probably 95% of everything you need to know before this movie goes out.
Yeah, I'm going to learn. These are great, you know. These are great, helpful things. Also, because it's such a friendly audience. It's not like people coming with their arms folded. It's people like, hey, we love you. We
want
to help
you. Open to receive. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's not an audience of people being like, okay, go impress me. It's people being like, oh, let me, what help could I possibly offer Zach insight on this? And anyway, so I'm very excited. The other thing, not to make this all about me, was that I, as I mentioned to you, Cheaper by the Dozen is coming out March 18th on Disney Plus.
Thunderous applause, Daniel. Thunderous applause.
I'm in charge of thunderous applause.
Okay, well, thunderous applause.
I just felt bad. I felt bad giving it for myself.
That's
but,
why we should give it back to Daniel, but okay, go
well,
on.
Well, Daniel
That's
has control over
it's thunderous
applause.
It's another conversation. Get back into it.
That's
Stay
what
with
I'm
it.
Talking about.
All right, listen. So,
Cheaper by the Dozen.
I showed Donald and Casey the trailer, which isn't out yet. You'll be the first group of people I tell the second the trailer drops. That's what the kids say. But I showed Donald and Casey the one that's not released yet, and you know they really are the target demo because they're parents with kids, and they loved it, right, Donald?
We did love it. Actually, we laughed out loud. Not only did we laugh out loud, it was something that you know Rocco and Wilder are huge fans of their godfather, Uncle Zach, and so we put it on the big screen, and we watched the trailer on the big screen, and Rocco laughed out loud.
Really?
Aww. Yeah, out loud. Like oh! Like laughed out loud.
Good.
Laughed out loud. And so,
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, that right there, I know we're going to be watching it.
I'm telling you, if you're a Scrubs fan, there's definitely a bit of Scrubsy overlap.
Yes.
And you'll love it. And it's me and Gabrielle Union being parents to 10 children of all different races because the story tells you why we have more than just the children we have together, and we have an adopted child. It's very complex, but you're going to love it, and your kids will love it. And, you know, I showed it to Amanda Klutz, too, and she said, this is so great because there's so many things you put on for a kid, and you're like, I would never want to watch this with them. Mm. And then this is the kind of thing where, like, Donald and Casey are cracking up at the trailer, and so's Rocco. It's perfect.
It's wonderful. I mean, you got my endorsement, buddy, and you got my kids' endorsement.
I had some good laughs in that trailer, didn't I?
Dude, of course. I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
Well, it'll be out soon. I mean, the movie comes out March 18th. The trailer must be coming out soon. But yeah.
March 18th.
And I'm going on Ellen. I'm going on Ellen.
Whoa.
Which is weird because I haven't fucking been on a talk show, and I'm very rusty with that.
Well, now you do it all the time. You do a podcast, man.
No, I know, but pandemic wise, can you even think of I can't even remember the last like go into a place and be on a talk show thing I've done. It was pre-pandemic, pre-apocalypse, pre-apocalypse.
Oh, you mean you're actually going into
pre-apocalypse?
Yeah, you're actually Ellen. Going... You go in. Yeah, you go in there. These days,
it's
you
not
go
on.
In.
Right, so you got to put on a suit.
I got
to. You got to worry about how you look.
I might wear my yellow corduroy suit because it's very unique, and it feels like
it's
Ellen
like a mustard.
Like...
It's not really yellow.
You've
it's like
seen
a mustard.
It before.
Yeah, I like that suit.
Yeah, I had it. It's bespoke. I had it made in the United Kingdom.
Wow! Oh, that was actually made to fit you.
Yes, there's a famous cinematographer named Seamus McGarvey, who I love. He's a fucking genius. And I follow him on Instagram, and he's often posting himself in these ridiculously unique, brightly colored corduroy suits. And I'm like, those are so amazing. So I slid into his DMs about other things too, because I'm a super fan of his. I talk about how much I love his work. Donald, he's definitely shot one of those Avenger movies, I think. So you probably just IMDb him.
I am now engaged. Go on.
Anyway, I'm making a very long story out of this. He said there's this tailor in UK that's not insanely priced, and they're all custom made. Anyway, so that's I'm already thinking about what I'm going to wear on Ellen because it won't air for a while. I think I tape it soon, but it airs.
So you might want, let's think seasonal now.
Oh, let's think seasonal because it's going to air around the premiere of the show. Joelle has done her research, Donald. He shot the original Avengers movie.
That's one of my favorites.
It's a good one.
There's a moment in that movie that I used to, this is how old I am, and this is how old the Avengers is. There was a moment where I used to have to fast forward to all the time just because... I thought it was the coolest thing in movie history at that point. And that's when Iron Man is over, you know, Stark Tower, and he looks up and the portal opens up and he goes, right, invasion. And he goes flying up towards it like the hero he is and freaking starts taking out aliens as they come through. Oh, sorry, Demi. Starts taking out extraterrestrials as they come through.
Amazing.
Anyway, so that's what's going on. Lots going on. And it's a beautiful day in LA, right, guys? The sun is out. It's been so rainy here. It's been so rainy, and it really is a beautiful day. This is why we live here in winter, those of you who don't, because there's oranges on the tree, and it's sunny out.
Mm. It's beautiful.
Donald, do you want to count us in?
Let's get into it then. 5, 6, 7, 8.
About a show we made, about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donald.
It's so weird to be watching Scrubs again. I haven't watched this television show in a very long time, and this episode has so much. The introduction of the legendary Elizabeth Banks.
The introduction alone is 2 pages worth of notes. EB came through. Yo, EB came through and, like, changed a lot of things. That was, like, one of those moments for, at least for me, I don't know about for you, but at least for me, when she came through where I was like, oh, wow, a movie star. We got another movie star in here. And it was somebody who I laughed at a lot. And at that point in time, had her finger on the pulse of what was fire, what was hot and she chose to be on Scrubs, and so that was kind of cool.
Yes, and not only had she had a good, a thriving movie actress career going, but she came on and she was great. Her whole arc on the show was always so funny. She was always so humble and cool and fun. And then she's gone on now to become a major, huge producer and director and actress still. And she's become a mogul. She's really an impressive human being because she's not one of those people who said, okay, I'll just wait and see what part I get next. She like created an empire for herself. And I'm really proud of our old friend, Elizabeth Banks.
So am I. It's always refreshing to see.
Before the apocalypse, I used to run into her and it was always such a good smile.
It was always nice, right? It was always good, right? Always, yeah.
She's a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she was very funny. But let's get into it, Donald. The janitor steals the hospital mannequin for
the teaching doll.
Yes, for the carpool lane. Now I've seen people do this. They put some sort of dummy in the.
Let me get this straight. You've witnessed actual someone.
No, I don't know that I've driven by it, but I've seen like memes of people getting caught and stuff like that. And
right.
I think it's very funny. They take that shit seriously here in LA with the HOV lane. I don't know if where you live, if you have this. Some of our audience is in Europe, but. You can only drive in certain lanes on the highways if you're more than two people. It's to try and get people to carpool. I don't know if it's made any difference.
No, I don't think it. I don't like even the carpool lane is packed in Los Angeles, man. Like it's just they widen the highways and it's still packed.
Well, they added now. There's a lot of old people in LA with electric cars, and if you have an electric car, you're allowed into the HOV lane as well.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think there's people that really actually commute and go, "Hey, Bob, I'll pick you up so
no.
we can use the HOV lane"?
I'm not trying to do
Daniel?
That.
Daniel, Joelle.
No, even when I was poor, I was like, "I'll take the bus or something."
wait, let me ask. You wouldn't ask? Okay, that's a different story. Okay, so me as somebody who's driving, I've never volunteered to say, you know what? I'll pick you up every day and we can carpool together. I've never done that. I've had somebody ask me, though, dude, listen, I cannot. Would you be all right with
We don't have normal 9-to-5 jobs. I guess what I'm really talking about is like people that have a standard schedule where they have to drive someplace and there's a lot of traffic. Are people really going like, hey, let's commute together so we can use the HOV lane? I don't know if that's a thing.
Even when I was poor and was working a 9-to-5, like it felt invasive to be like, hey, can you take like an extra 15, 20 minutes out of your day to like drive me around? Even if I was giving them like gas money. No, I was like, I'll just take a bus.
And you couldn't even be like, and the caveat is, we'll take the HOV lane because it's two of us in the car.
I think there are places where it, and this may be like, you know, Portland or something, where there's like literally like a line, like there'll be a line of people waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go and you grab and you pick up some people and that allows you to get in the HOV lane to get.
Wow.
I don't know where that is. Joelle, see if you can Google where that is. But like, I remember reading an article about like, someplace where it was so well organized where like there'd literally be like a line of people and you would just go pick up your random HOV person.
I'd like to get into a moment right now where I like this is called Donald's Baked Thoughts.
Okay, go ahead.
There's somebody out there right now that just was like, HOV, I got my own lane, Holy cow, Hove is the best rapper ever. I'm just putting it out there. Someone out there, just pick that up. Baked Thoughts with Donald
Faison. Okay, so your Baked Thoughts led you to what I'm assuming is a Jay-Z lyric?
Yeah, HOV. I got my own lane.
Wow, okay.
Bars.
You know, Donald has asked, can I talk about the contract you're sending to me?
Yeah, let's get into it. Okay, so look. I am a very lucky man. I have finally cracked a code somehow and am producing. I've created my own television show. Thank you very much. I don't know how I did it. So it's like a blur, but I did it. Right. Exactly. There was a lot of that involved. Anyway, at the end of the show, there's these things called tag, like, you know, you have your own personal tag. Bill Lawrence is the doozer one with the...
Charlotte going bye-bye.
But Charlotte going bye-bye, right. And other people have great ones. Like,
you've seen them after shows.
After every show, like, sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
What do they call them? Vanity cards or something? I don't know.
I don't know what they're called, but I have been asked if I have one.
Yes, you
for
do.
The end of my show that I created with Stupid Buddy Studios. Stupid Buddy Studios has one. Adult Swim has one. And they've asked for mine.
Wow.
I came up with the idea to ask my good old buddy Zach Braff
For the rights to
get into a dare show.
I'm so honored.
That's gonna be my tag right there.
I am so honored.
Wow.
The funny thing is that I go, yeah, for $10K, and then he FaceTimed me like, wait, for real? And I'm like, you think that I would take a cent of your money for my art? Now, listen, if somebody That's else funny. Came and said, hey, we've heard the Adeshun song. We'd like to use it for the new Cheerios commercial. That would be different.
They got to give me that money.
Then they have to pay.
Yeah, they got to pay that money.
I'm so honored, Donald. And it means that I really will make it to the end of all of your episodes because I'll want to hear that.
Yeah, thank you. I knew I had to find a way to hook you. And I was like, if I want them to freaking see everything that I've created from here on out,
yeah,
I have to somehow get him involved.
I might use it for mine, too.
Right on. I love that.
That'd be funny. All right. So Carla has insane mood swings.
That's real.
Now, is that real? Like, I know we're spoofing it a little because it's a TV comedy, but she really, she's that first scene with you, she's crying, and then she's sad, and then she wants to fuck.
Oh, man.
By the way, your body looked fierce like Taye Diggs. You were in good shape.
I was working. I think that was the master cleanse.
Dude, you did something right because I'm not saying it moved, but I'm saying it, my shaft, like, it just shifted.
That's enough.
No, it didn't. There was no blood flow. It just kind of like it was like a hiccup. It was like a hiccup. It was as though my tip hiccuped.
Oh my God.
Well, you know, if you pause, you can see outline. I paused.
Oh, really?
Just to check to see.
Speaking of which, not to upstage you, but Rob's fucking banana hammock in this episode. Did you see the amount of bounce, Joel?
Dude, it was jiggling.
Not only was it jiggling, didn't it have like glitter? Didn't it like sparkle too?
It looked like it had springs. It looked like it had springs.
I don't think in five seasons
of Scrubs in that banana hammock, his dick has ever bounced as much as it bounces in this one. And you can see it just bouncing.
Dude, look, can we get back on this emotion?
To my body and how fierce I looked?
Listen, I remember when my wife was pregnant with Rocco and Wilder, she would laugh so hard that she would start to cry. You know what I mean? And be like, well, what are you crying about? She's like, I don't know. I'm just so happy. But she would be laughing that it would turn to crying. And I remember being like, this is crazy.
So the mood swings that we see in movies with pregnant people is real, is what you're saying.
Oh, my goodness. It's so real. But it's so beautiful, too. Like, you know, Turk's patience with Carla is amazing because he gets butt naked thinking that he's gonna have sex with his pregnant wife.
But the libido of a woman stereotypically does increase.
Oh, absolutely.
Around what month does that happen? Do you recall?
After they stop puking.
Okay. So post, you know, maybe second trimester, I'm guessing?
I guess so. So as soon as the...
We can ask Dr. Penis today. By the way, do we have Dr. Penis today?
He is supposed to be here. He confirmed this morning that he will be available.
Oh, I'm so excited. You know, fans, we really wanted to give you a treat because, you know, Dr. Penis is a favorite, and we wanted to return to you after so long away with something golden like Dr. Penis. Donald, have you thought about – I couldn't fall asleep last night and was legitimately thinking about Dr. Penis questions.
Oh, I don't ever have to think about questions. I have so many questions already about – penises.
All right. Well, we should ask Dr. Penis, because I'm sure it was covered in neurologist school, when a woman starts to get horny when she's pregnant. It'd be funny if she could get pregnant again.
Wait, what
like
do you
while
mean,
she's
like,
pregnant?
I mean, I know. Pregnant? I'm not an
I'm
idiot.
Sure that's
I know.
Before.
I know. It can't. It can't happen. But it'd be funny if there was just one other egg that was just hanging out. And it
has happened before. It's a medical miracle. But there are some women who have two uteruses. Again, super rare. But it has happened before.
Wow. Really? Now,
yeah.
I've heard of the case where there was a case where a woman had sex with a white man. And the egg was fertilized, and then within not a very long amount of time, had sex with a black man, and miraculously, another egg was fertilized, and she gave birth to twins. One was white, and one was black. Now I don't know if that's an old wives' tale.
No, huh. That's true too.
Okay,
wow.
Google it, Joelle, to make sure I'm
genes
not making
are
shit
wild.
Up.
No, I will, but I'm 100% sure it's true.
And that husband, who I okay, imagine so was then, cheated on, had quite a surprise when the baby
came out.
It's
not about cheating. That's just genetics.
Well, no, I'm saying I think we can infer from the story that either of those two men, black or white, was cheated on because she – well, maybe not. Maybe she was just a promiscuous
The case
gal.
I know of is a white woman with a black partner. She had twins. They look – strikingly similar. I'll send you a picture.
Well, one's
but
white and one's
just
black.
Genetically, one came
no,
out white, one
no,
came out
Joelle,
black.
No, Joelle, I'm not
she
talking
She said,
that.
He said, I he said, okay. He said, a young lady had sex with a white male one
yes.
day and then a black male another day.
No, not within days. It was like, it's like, with like very as close as possible. Like, let's say
okay,
it was within an hour.
Okay, so maybe they were doing a threesome. Or something, a menage a trois, as they call it in
yeah.
the French.
Daniel, are you looking this up? This happened.
They both went,
oh, God.
Yeah, by the way, it could have been.
And 10 months later, she was like, yours and yours, child support.
It could have been
you.
A threesome, maybe. And there were two eggs, and they both ejaculated. So we got to ask, let's ask Dr. Penis about this.
Do you
please.
Think it's possible that they were. Never mind.
Joelle, will you
going too far.
Double pen? You mean what do you call it?
Double penetration. Double, you're exactly right. Oh,
no. But double penetration in the same.
Yeah, in the
hole.
Same in the same hole.
Not one of those. Not one of those.
And both. It was like one of those moments where it was like, if we can combine our strengths.
Yes, well, and if they both
and,
came
and
at the same time.
Yes, and ejaculate at the same time.
Yeah, that's a lot
perhaps.
Of work. A lot of work and a lot
we
of luck.
Can
but
create
it seems.
A new breed of human.
No, not a new breed. This experiment.
Yeah, it's like. It's
Joelle,
like,
will you make a note to ask Dr. Penis about this? Because I think it's important. This has happened. Daniel, are you Googling?
There's all sorts of stories that are coming up. There,
all
right.
Yeah. And they're all facts.
Yes.
Wait, hold on. Daniel, are you on the dark web?
Daniel, go to the dark web.
I don't know who
Daniel,
my Tor browser
Daniel, you
has.
Probably know how to go to the dark web, don't you?
Look, we don't need to talk about that right now.
I bet you do. I don't even know how to get on the dark
Dude,
web. I
have
bet
no
you
clue.
Daniel does.
Somebody would be like, meet me on the dark web. I'd be like, where the fuck is the dark web?
Yeah, I don't
where
even know. I don't know if my computer has dark web.
Yeah, I don't want to trigger all of our dark web listeners right now, but when I say the words Tor browser, someone is going, yup. Yup.
Well, anyway, I don't know anything about
that. I don't know
that.
What that
that's
is.
All, right, that's all
let's
I'm
get back
say about
to
that.
How funny it was that they put Elizabeth Banks because of this wedding ring thing. So for
that's
those of you who haven't watched
such
the episode,
a great joke.
It's such a funny joke. JD can't see a woman when she has a wedding ring on. So Elizabeth Banks, it turns out, has been at the hospital all along. And JD just never recognized her because she had a wedding ring on, right?
Right.
And then we see Gift Shop Girl, who's all of a sudden still there.
Right. She and you're like, I thought you died.
I sent your like, parents flowers. And she goes, I know you bought them from me.
It was me?
But you know what's so inappropriate? When JD leaves that scene and they all turn invisible again, I go out like groping all the invisible, trying to grope the invisible women.
Yeah, dude. This was
very inappropriate.
Time. Very different time in television.
Well, they were invisible, and I don't know that I struck any of them, but he JD, our hero, does attempt to grab.
I like to think that they really didn't exist and that in some ways, you know, this is all JD's imagination from the conversation that he had with Turk.
Right. Okay. I'll take that. But it was very funny how they put Elizabeth Banks into all those scenarios when I'm singing Kung Fu Fighting and when and then they reveal her in the opening
credits
and she's like,
yeah.
It's backwards. That's been bothering me for so long.
You know, I was wondering why are they doing the old credit sequence with the new credit audio. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. It's a lot slower.
The only reason I knew that, Donald, was because I went on Scrubs Wiki and they also caught that. Do you want me to read it to you? It says,
sure.
This episode includes a modified title sequence in which Kim steps in and reverses the X-ray, as we said. This was in response to criticism about the backwards X-ray image because, you know, doctors told us forever. The extended version of the theme song Superman is the same as used in the short-lived, longer opening attached to some early season 2 episodes before all you fans revolted and said, get that shit
get
off of
there. Get that shit out of here.
The fans did not like that.
They were like, get that shit out of here. And Bill was like, all right, bet. Then how about this? I'm no Superman.
Well, the Omni Superman thing started because it was like every year we would get less and less screen time and more ads.
And Bill was Superman.
Then it was like, Omni Superman.
Then it became Superman.
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 Superman. Because you'd rather have the screen time than a theme song.
The Superman.
All right. So Elizabeth Banks, that was very funny. Todd's banana hammock bouncing, that was very, very bouncy.
The greasers. What the hell was the greasers?
That was
dude.
So random. It's like a what shout out to Grease.
I guess so. But like, what was the point? And what was the point at the end with the square situation?
Well, that was like a Pulp Fiction call out. I don't know if you remember in Pulp Fiction when
she
says there'll be a square and they showed the square.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a break. And we come back, I want to talk about how when Elizabeth Banks draws the length of an average penis and makes it very, very long, and she's trying to make JD feel stupid, you notice that Turk is nodding like, yep, that's the correct size. All right, we'll be back. We'll be right back. And we're back!
We are back.
So she draws a giant penis and the patient nods, and then you see Turk nodding, and she really meant it to do a joke on JD, and he runs out of the room pissed off, but then he comes back and he, without asking the patient, lifts up the blanket to examine his penis, and it is in fact, we're assuming, a giant, giant penis.
Yes. I was wondering why JD had to come back to make sure.
I think JD probably has insecurities about his penis size because, as many men do, because they hear about people like you in the real world and they go, gosh, am I less than?
There's only one person out there
like
who
me.
Doesn't. Right. Well, there's only one person out there who isn't insecure about his penis size. And that's the dude with the biggest penis. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm sure there's men that are in the adult industry that are feel pretty confident.
I bet you any amount of money, there's always a bigger. There's always
But you know, a lot of women. We can talk to Dr. Penis about this. Say a lot of that's bullshit. Yeah, you don't want it to be too tiny, but you also don't want it to be too massive because it's painful.
I think those are great
questions for Dr. Penis. Joelle, please be marking some of these down because I'm worried I'm going to forget them when he's in front of us and I get shy around him.
This episode had a lot of penis talk in it.
Yes. Yes.
Like from – this is a perfect episode for Dr. Penis to show up.
All right. Listen, Richard Wells directed this, who was one of our first assistant directors for many years, a wonderful man, and he directed it. And
he went on to become our UPM.
Became the unit production manager, which is a money position. Dealing with the money position. And Garrett Donovan and Neil Goldman wrote it, who are very funny. The janitor comes over and grabs JD's pencil. I snap at the pencil. Hey, and JD's like, what the fuck is that? And he's like, it's part of my stand-up act. And I go, oh, when do you perform? And he goes, I'm at the Giggle Pit every morning at sunup. That's his slot. Now, is anyone going to the Giggle Pit at sunup? That's the real question. But here we get the biggest look. The reason this episode is special for Donald and I, it's not the best episode ever, but it really, really is an important episode because you really get some doctor. You actually see
footage,
some
actual footage
from Dr. Acula.
Yes.
Yes.
Not only not only that, but there's rumor of other footage that exists.
Yes.
Too.
Yes. Now the poor film, which is already in production, clearly is being taped over by the janitor. He's uploaded
on people with it.
Yes, he stole JD's camera and he's been uploading a scene where Dr. Acula delivers a baby and then eats it onto the hospital's website. So we know that there's lots of other scenes that have been documented.
Yes, that's the rumored scenes.
But we finally get to see.
Yes. Not only do we see, we see takes actually. We don't see the scene, we see different takes.
That's when he catches Kelso. Beating up his van, and they go to watch the videotape, and Kelso's like, "What the hell is this?
Oh my god! Okay, what? After you finish this, we skip something though.
No,
We
can go back. We can go back. I just jumped there. We can go back.
Okay, so look, we skipped the fact that Dr. Dad was a fake fucking play. It wasn't real.
Yes, right.
Dr. Dad was fake. It was a front, dude.
It was a front for a meth lab. Yes. Dr. Dad, we learned that Kelso's son's musical was a front. We know it was called Dr. Dad, and that his Kelso's son, for those of you who don't recall, it's been a long while, was in the musical Dr.
Dad. As the lead.
And he was sleeping with the actor playing his
Dr.
father.
Dr. Dad, yes. Dr. Dad.
Kelso.
Dad. Yes.
Now we're hearing from Kelso that was all a ruse. In fact, Dr. Dad was never in production. It was a meth lab.
Right.
And he's fled to Canada, and the fucking Mounties are involved.
Right. Now the Mounties are involved.
Sorry, he says.
I didn't know the Mounties got involved with anything, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the Mounties are their cops, right? Canadian police, right, Daniel, Joel?
No, they have police. There are police officers.
What's the difference between a Mountie? Maybe it's like their federal police. What's the difference between a Mountie and a
national police force?
Oh yeah, it's their like FBI, I guess.
The Mounties are?
Yeah, I'm guessing, right?
Municipal policing to national security.
It's
and
not
intelligence
just the guys
gathering.
And the horses, Donald. It's
I was about
a real
to say because they got a uniform on and stuff.
No,
like that.
The red guys on the horses, Joelle. There's the red guys on the horses.
That's a Mountie.
I know, but sometimes I watch I'm watching a show, Search Party, where they had Mounties and they weren't, the guy didn't show up on horseback in a red outfit.
That's like their dress uniform.
Search Party ain't accurate.
That is, I was going to echo Joelle's sentiment right there. That seems to be like their proper uniform, their dress.
It sounds like to me Search Party needs to work on their budget because they're lacking in
accuracy.
By
the way, it would be so much better if the guy showed up in the woods to investigate
with the red jacket
on a horse.
With the red jacket and the hat.
The red jacket.
I honestly thought until recently, I guess probably until Search Party, that the Mounties were all on horses in red jackets. I mean, what you're saying is that's just their dress uniform. When they're doing their day-to-day, they are normally dressed. Now, does their uniform always come with a horse? All right. Anyway, so the Mounties are involved in searching for Kelso's son. JD apparently uses expressions when he's turned on by a woman like turtles wink and porcupines hiccup. We haven't heard that before.
But then all of a sudden, JD now fantasizes about Dr. Acula. This was a very heavy Dr. Acula's episode.
Yes. Well, I think it's safe to say that Neil and Garrett were fans of the Dr. Acula storyline because they put
we
it a
We should
hit
up
here.
Neil and Garrett to write.
By
this
the way, I ran into Tim Hobart.
How's Tim Hobart doing?
Tim Hobart is wonderful. He, for those of you who wouldn't possibly know, he was one of our main writers on the show, and he left us to go run The Middle, I believe.
No, I thought he went on to Psych after us.
I don't know. He's a big writer. He was the showrunner on The Middle for a while. And but the point is, I ran into him, and he said he loves the podcast. Can he please come on?
Yeah, absolutely, you can come on.
So, Joelle, I need you to reach out to him.
Can do.
Joelle, you have Bill's assistant's number, right?
Oh, you know, I already emailed her.
All right, go through her and say we need Tim Hobart's cell phone and let's book him because he is a genuine fan of the podcast and he'd be great to have on because he's a hilarious comedy writer with lots of stories.
And his wife On a clear day.
Yes, his wife sang, on a clear day, I can see the very long way. So yeah, we have this fantasy where I bite Elizabeth and it goes into full sort of windy vampire movie spinning effect. And then it cuts out of the fantasy and I go, vampires like it windy.
What?
I don't know. I guess when you show vampire scenes, if you think about it, I don't really watch vampire movies.
It is often windy, right? That's true.
Joelle, you're very good with pop culture. Vampire films, don't you feel that wind is often used heavily?
You got to be throwing that hair. If they're going to be gorgeous, eternally young creatures, they need the Beyonce fan to really get that hair going.
It's usually the virgin vampires that are the ones that come with the white outfits that they've just been turned that are freaking full of hair flowing in the wind. You're absolutely right.
Do you remember
that?
What was that movie? Lost Boys? Donald, did you like Lost Boys?
Are you kidding me? Who didn't like Lost Boys?
I don't think I've ever seen Lost Boys.
Are you kidding me right now?
I mean, I've seen scenes.
Thou shall not fall.
Yeah. That was a favorite of my sister's. You know, she had movies on cassette that she would tape movies off TV on VHS and then watch them over and over and over and over again. And Lost Boys was one of those ones.
Thou shall not kill. Dude, Gerard wrote that, man. I worked with that dude. The dude that wrote that song later on in life when I was... I just graduated high school. I was in a music group. We were a boy band. And the dude who wrote that song took us in and tried to develop us into an act. And this was right around the time Clueless was coming out. And I chose to do Clueless instead of doing the boy band thing. And the rest is history. But the dude that sang that song, thou shall not fall, cry on your sister now, thou shall. Shout out to Gerard, yo, dude, for real.
All right. Well, shout out to Gerard, but also.
The Lost Boys, Dr.
The
Acala.
Lost Boys, if you like, I guess it's an 80s vampire movie.
And if you're a fan of the Coreys.
Yes, both Coreys are in it. Yes. If you're old enough to know who Corey Haim and Corey
Feldman
are. It's a double Corey movie. The Coreys made a lot of films together.
License to Drive?
It was a genre.
You know who's in License to Drive, though, right?
Who? Heather Graham?
Heather Graham. There you go.
Heather Graham, yes. Yep. All right, let's get back to the show Scrubs, Donald.
Okay.
This is one of my favorite JD lines ever. Relax, Brown Bear. There's no shame in climaxing.
Yeah, so what's that about?
I guess you come and... Excuse me. I guess you ejaculate and then cry.
Did you just excuse yourself for saying cum?
Yeah, I didn't know if I should say cum, but have I said cum before on the show?
I don't know, but I don't see a problem with it.
Well, I don't want iHeart to think like
cum's Joelle was like, what are you talking about?
The show's already marked explicit, so you're good.
All right, well, let's ask Dr. Penis if it's okay to use the word cum.
Yeah, cum. Well, I think cum and cry sounds better than ejaculate and cry.
Okay, so apparently Turk will very often, I don't know, is this very often or once in a while, will cry after he ejaculates?
Yeah, he's a CNC kind of guy.
Have you ever cried after sex, Donald?
No.
I can't say that I have either.
No.
I would ask these two, but I'm worried that in the iHeart employee small print, I'm not allowed to ask them.
Well, I'm going to say this. I have joked with Casey and been like, after we've had sex, we'd be like, and now we're going to have a baby. And pretended to cry. Never have I ever.
Okay. Well, listen, the point is if you are someone who weeps after orgasming, JD's here to tell you that there's no shame in climaxing. That would be a great ringtone, Joelle.
There's no shame in climaxing.
It's almost like there's no crying in baseball. There's no shame in climaxing.
There's no crying in baseball.
There's no shame in climaxing.
There's no shame in climaxing.
Yo, so this is one of Bill's favorite jokes ever, obviously. What? But that the carpet's wet in the lobby.
Yeah, I think this started with Neil was on, and we got to book Neil again, Joelle. That's another fan favorite. We got to have him back, and I'm sure he'll come back. But Neil once said that a director told him to just mop there. And he said, why would I be mopping here? It's carpet. And I think everyone found that so funny that I believe the writers wrote it in to script. Because I started writing down, why is he mopping carpet? And then we made a whole joke out of it.
The joke out of it, yeah. This is one of Bill's favorite jokes.
So the janitor has gone to Kelso's house, and Kelso says, I'm not afraid of you. I don't think you'd steal my money. And then the janitor returns wearing a very long leather jacket.
Trench coat, very much like the Terminator.
Yes. It's nice, and it seems expensive.
Yes. Layers. Layers upon layers.
Now, we also learned that when we almost see Enid, but we don't see Enid. We just see her wheelchair. And we learn that she's got a new pantsuit. So the implication, let me just go through what this implies. The janitor, she's a paraplegic. Yes. So the janitor not only sized her up, took money, went and bought a pantsuit, and then helped her get into it.
Yes, he had to have. He had to have dressed her too. Yes. He dressed her also.
He dressed her.
Yes. Yes. And then put her back in the chair. Yes.
He went and bought a leather coat. I got Enid's sizes.
Yeah.
Came back.
Yes.
Changed her outfit.
Yes.
Put her back in the chair.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Oh, man, this show is so fucking twisted.
Nuts. Nuts, dude.
Now, your first line in Dr. Acula before they ruin it and tape over it is, you ain't taking no blood from my hoe slapping hand.
Right. Yes. This had to be something like from Hollywood Shuffle or something like that, man.
Yeah, we were clearly, I mean, it was clearly influenced by Hollywood Shuffle. Yeah. Which if you haven't seen Hollywood Shuffle.
Batty, 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 all of that stuff.
If you haven't seen Hollywood Shuffle, we've recommended it before. But if you have seen Hollywood Shuffle, this whole thing is clearly influenced by Hollywood
Absolutely.
Shuffle.
Absolutely.
So I say, for the last time, Turk, blacker, and then you see that the fucking camera goes static,
yeah,
and the tripod gets knocked over, and when it comes back on, Donald is now
shirtless
with yes. the afro wig
with
on.
With the afro wig on. No, without the afro wig. Shirtless without Sorry. The afro wig. But I have
I've
the
got
cape.
The afro wig
you
on.
You have the afro wig yeah. on and the yellow jumpsuit now. I'm shirtless. With the teeth.
You know, I've seen this as a picture online, and we posted it because it's just such a funny image. But watching that was hysterical. It really was. JD is not a very good director if his only note is, for the last time, blacker.
Yeah. Now, at this point, we're both single at this point. And so, and we're about to go into the summer. I honestly thought at the end of this season, this is five, right? Yeah. This is when the network started getting real tricky with us about what they wanted to do for the next season. And I remember us sweating around this time.
Oh, that might be
wondering
over.
That if it was going to be over or not.
There's a whole storyline we haven't talked about, which is Sarah wants to dump Keith because she thinks he's wimpy and doesn't stand up for her. And then Judy snaps at her and Keith defends her. And I assumed as an audience member that Carla was doing that on purpose to try and keep her with Keith. But then we learned that no, she just
she snapped
because she's got that pregnancy temper right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It all worked out for the best, as a lot of sitcoms do, I guess.
The Todd notices two ants doing it on the F button of the computer.
That was okay, and
and he thinks they're girls.
Yeah, I could have sworn he said, and I could have sworn they were girls. They were two girls. So this comes from she leaves. So Elliot leaves something. What did she leave out for?
Pancakes.
Was it pancakes?
Yeah, so I think she left pants. She was trying to, like, make Carla like her or something. So she left. Yeah,
because they got into an argument. So she was trying to make amends, and she leaves pancakes out by her computer.
But they bring ants, which pisses Judy off.
They attract ants.
Yes.
They attract ants all over her keyboard. And then the Todd says, there's two of them doing it on the F button. And at first, I could have sworn they were two girls.
so stupid. That's so stupid. I wanted to say that the Scrubs Wiki has a little bit of a bone to pick with the whole wedding ring thing. JD's, quote, not being able to see married women, unquote, rule doesn't quite add up because he can still see Carla after she got married.
Tasty coma wife.
While it could be argued that he can still see her because he knew her before she was married, that wouldn't explain why he couldn't see gift shop girl after she got married.
Well, I don't understand. He saw Tasty Coma Wife. He saw all of these other...
Okay. Well, listen, we don't hold fast and true to all the rules of the show, but I just wanted to point out that someone at Scrubs Wiki, I don't know if it was Trevor or one of his minions, noticed.
Okay. So why does JD feel it's his business to read Kim at the end of the show? Like what gives JD the right to do that to her, as a matter of fact?
Even I think JD didn't know this thing, which I'm assuming is real because Scrubs is was known as one of the most medically accurate shows ever to be made, we've been told, that surgeons, young surgeons in particular, try and avoid risky operations because it will fuck up their stats as a perfect surgeon and it will prevent them, inhibit them from getting hired at bigger and better places. I'm assuming that's a real thing. We can ask Dr. Penis. But so JD, I think, learns that. It would be bizarre that he wouldn't have heard of that before. But he sort of learns that that's a thing and is very disappointed in her, particularly because he's attracted to her and thinks that she's such a catch. But then he realizes that, oh, you're seriously not going to operate on that man because it's risky and could affect your stats. Like, he's like, and you're hiding out. I've been told you're hiding out with your wedding ring on and you've been divorced for a long time. And he just sort of calls her out he takes a risk to try and call her out on all her bullshit.
That is a risk because that's none of his damn business, too.
I know, but though. He's got nothing to lose. He's got nothing to lose. He likes her.
Yeah. And it pays off, too, I guess, in the end. But I couldn't see myself doing that. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't see myself being like, Joelle, I'm going to tell you something right now. I figured you out. And bam, in your face, walk off.
It's one of those ruthless readings that winds up being, it's ruthless, but it's also just so honest. It's like, why are you seem like really cool. Why are you hiding yourself? Like, why are you not going the distance and really trying to like help people? Why did you get into this field in the first place? Why haven't you taken your wedding ring off? Like, it's super brutal. And I think could have backfired. But I also think like when you're really interested in a person, like you want them to be their best self, right? And I think that, you know, you call them.
He went all in. He went all in. It's like in poker, Donald. He went all in. He's like, I'm just going to say this. It might explode everything, but I'm going to give it a try.
Yeah, that was a very bold move JD took. JD, that was a very bold move JD made because I don't know that I could do that in real life where I could just be like, you know what? I'm going to just tell you about yourself real quick. And then
I'm sure you've done that in your life. Have you never gone to someone? I guess you're saying it's a virtual stranger,
yeah,
which is different.
Pretty much.
I'm sure people in your life, you've gone, all right, listen, you need to hear this, obviously.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
You're saying that the fact that it's a stranger.
Yeah, dude, you didn't know who she was until she took her wedding ring off.
Right. I thought that was sweet how she took it off and put it in the middle of the table. I thought that was romantic.
Yeah. I think it's the beginning of How I Met Your Mother, too.
What do you mean?
Well, she goes on, spoiler alert, she goes on to have your first kid. JD's first kid.
Yeah, and we don't even have, as you recall, intercourse. I believe that I ejaculate
prematurely
next to her, beside her vulva.
Clearly, it was in the area of...
No, do you remember? There's this whole monologue where
it's like where you're it's about like to get there.
No, it was a whole like war analogy where it was like there was friendly fire,
right?
And the fire, it's coming up. Yeah. Well, obviously, no pun intended. It's coming up, but I remember that the point is that, and this must be something that can happen, because again, why would they put it in the show? But he ejaculated prematurely on the exterior.
Before penetration.
Yes, on the exterior of the of the vagina, technically what's called the vulva, Donald.
I thank you for that.
And we can ask Dr. Penis if I'm right that that's called the vulva, and she still got pregnant. So JD never even got to have sex with her, right?
No, he did not.
I don't recall if it was their first time, first and only time about to have sex, or did they have a sex life?
I don't think they ever had a sex life. I think she left before.
Do you remember, Joelle?
I don't recall.
Well, we're going to get there. I'm sure there's lots of fans listening who know all the details
they're
better
dying.
Than us.
They're yelling at the freaking podcast right now.
Yes.
You fucked
a lot of times, assholes. You smoked too much weed.
Stop smoking with Donald.
Yeah, Donald. All right, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll have Dr. Penis, who will answer all sorts of penis and vulva questions for us. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah, and we're back!
We're back!
We're back, we're back. Now, here he is. Let's play the song about the guest, Daniel. Don't forget that song.
We got a caller. Sing show tunes, you know, like a baller. Smoke some jazz cabbage. Maybe talk about the episode. So come on, Joelle, let's get the show on the road.
And here he is, Dr. Brick.
Yeah.
Brick. Oh, I was so nervous because I fucked it up so many times last time you were on. Now, Dr. Brick, do you mind if we call you Dr. Penis? Because that's sort of how we branded you on the show.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it.
Okay. Did you get a lot of good feedback from your appearance the first time?
I did. I think all my friends and family really liked it. It was crazy. I got some random texts from some doctors that I knew that were like, oh, I'm big. Like, I've listened to the Scrubs podcast and all of a sudden they're talking about this guy and he sounds, and it's you. And I'm like, so it was pretty cool.
Well, Dr. Brick, we'd really want to make you a regular segment on the show because Donald and I often have penis questions, and they're just an infinite number of penis questions.
Oh, yeah.
Right, Donald?
It just goes on forever.
Yeah.
I agree. No, you were saying in the other day that can you have too much penis? And I don't think you can. Like you know, I
see, I told pages. You, Zach.
Yeah,
I told you.
One of our first
I told you.
Questions.
I told first, you. No such first, thing.
Well, no,
no
I've
such
seen,
thing.
Wait, calm down. I've seen, accidentally, I have seen some videos on the internet where it
accidentally?
Appears, where it appears that the gentleman can't, the woman can't accommodate the full length of the man.
Or the gentleman can't accommodate.
No, the woman cannot accommodate the man's full gift. And I wonder if that's come up in your practice, if any patients have said, doctor, what do we do in this situation?
I haven't seen it. I was actually I've seen that in a Nip Tuck episode before, but one of my staff told me that he heard that once of one person that came that was complaining that his penis was too big. Uh-huh. But I don't think
and what did he want to do?
Are there people that get penis like you see we see billboards out here in LA and actually
that shit doesn't exist. There's no way you can.
No,
ever
no.
Get a
sorry,
penis.
Sorry. It was in New Jersey. I saw a billboard for breast reduction, and I wondered if there was such a thing as penis reduction. Has anyone ever said that's
I'm
too
sure
much?
I'm sure you. I bet you can cut it off, but I bet you can't make it grow, dude. There's no way.
No,
you can
no,
cut
no.
it down. Can't make it grow.
No. I let the doctor answer. Dr. Penis can't.
The only time we would actually like really cut it down is if someone has like cancer of the penis, and you need to cut it. And can still be functioning.
Really? So you're saying you'd cut off the cancerous part, the tumor or whatever.
Yeah.
But then the penis can still function.
Yeah. And you can kind of create, you use some like a skin flap and you can kind of create what looks like the head of the penis. And if there's for peeing, it can definitely still function. And for intercourse, I mean, it's still sensitive. I don't know how functional it'll be. I guess it depends if you can still achieve an erection.
Now, Dr. Penis, one thing I wanted to ask you was when we were kids growing up, there Reebok did this campaign where there was a pump, 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 pump it up. Remember those, Donald? And I don't know why no sneaker brand has gone back to this because it was genius. I don't know why. And Nike had their own version, but it wasn't as cool. Donald, do you remember this?
I think I had those Nikes.
It was in the tongue.
The Reebok pump was in the tongue and a right, Nike
I had
pump.
Them. I had them. Did you have
what
them?
What was the purpose?
I did.
It would it would tighten the air. The air pumps in there, and it would
tighten the ankle area.
It would tighten the ankle around your. And the campaign was pump, 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 pump it up.
Now, can you do that with your penis?
Yeah, no. What I'm saying is, my question is for you: aren't there some men who have erectile dysfunction in a medical way, not a mental way? And isn't there something where they can? It's in their scrotum, pump, or it's pump, nearby pump, where they can pump it up. Tell us about that.
So yeah, no, that's like one of the final steps. Or I mean, some people do it quickly when they have erectile dysfunction and they either can't tolerate medications or the medications aren't working or they don't want to take Viagra, that kind of thing. There's also injections you can do. And it's a surgery where the two erectile bodies that cause the erections are essentially balloons that fill with blood. We put in cylinders that can fill with fluid and cause an erection. Wow. And so the fluid, there's a little reservoir that we put in kind of like behind the pubic bone, and that's filled with salt water essentially. And there's a tube that goes to a pump that we put in the scrotum. So it's you could say, you know, it's similar size as your testicle. So you essentially have another kind of.
Would a woman, if a man was doing this, could he feasibly hide this from a partner and her not know that he was pump, 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 pump it up?
That is a good question.
You
will never get an erection normally. So you always, like, once you have this, your only way you can get an erection is with the pump. So like, if you are doing, you know, if you're fooling around what have you, and then you're pumping it up on your own and the woman is not paying attention, maybe, but, if the woman is familiar with what a penis feels like, then they're not gonna.
Can you pump it up just to pump it up, even if you don't have like erectile dysfunction? Can't you just be like, I'm just going to pump this bad boy?
Of course.
Can you get one of those if you don't have erectile dysfunction?
Well, you don't get the salt water and everything, but you get like a penis pump and you pump, pump.
Oh,
pump,
that
pump,
kind of thing. Yeah. It's funny that you're asking that, because for like a Secret Santa thing, one of my friends got another one, a penis pump.
Yeah.
And in urology, that's another thing you can use for. Like, it's a vacuum device that kind of like you pump to like bring more blood into the penis. Mm-hmm. And you know,
what website? What website do you buy that on?
I mean, you want me to?
No, I'm kidding.
Just Google it.
I'll have Joelle. Joelle's Google's is already so fucked up. We put all that shit on her Google.
If I had a relationship with a website, I would tout them. But you could probably find it on any website. But we recommend. And it's in a vacuum erectile device that you essentially, I'm like trying to show it, but you don't see my lower area. You put it kind of over the penis.
Yeah.
And it kind of like suctions down around the base of the penis.
Yeah.
And you pump, pump, pump. And it essentially creates a pressure that brings more blood to the penis. And then you put a ring over the base of your penis, essentially holding the blood in there. I think people probably do it to achieve maybe more rigidity if they're not... like happy with what they are, but other people use it for, you know, as a management of their own.
Do you think that this is a question I wanted to ask you? Like Cialis and Viagra, they were invented for people with erectile dysfunction, and senior citizens can now enjoy a sex life much later in life, mm-hmm. which is great. Do you think that more people who are younger should experiment with it, because they might say, "Hey, I've always had like." A 79% hard on, but then the medicine, all of a sudden you've got this like fucking
that's just a glass fucking cylinder.
And you're like, oh, I never knew I could have a fucking Thor's hammer.
Yeah. No, that's a good question. I think that.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think in younger people.
And is it safe also? That's the
other
thing.
That's the problem.
Well,
problem.
No, it's not necessarily always safe.
Well, let Dr. Penis answer. You don't know.
If you're getting it from like the black market or a drug dealer, probably not safe. I think that for people who have maybe issues with erections from a psychological perspective, which is a totally reasonable issue that many men have, and I think it's becoming possibly even maybe more aware or maybe a bigger issue, unclear. Taking or being prescribed, you know, a medication like Viagra, Cialis, that kind of thing, can first help your erections as needed and and then can also then boost your confidence that hopefully you can then potentially achieve erections that
without it. It's like a mind for a lot of people don't realize, I'm guessing, is that, you know, you hear about Viagra and Cialis. It's been a joke for so long. Oh, senior citizens or people with a medical problem. You know, people don't know that it's often overcoming a mental issue where they've gotten in their head. It's like a placebo?
No,
it actually does work. But it sounds like what he's saying is there's a lot of people who they can't get an erection, and it's not a physical problem. They're in their head. They have performance anxiety. It snowballs, a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. And what he's saying is those people can get their confidence back with a Viagra or Cialis, and then be able to tiptoe off of it lower and lower doses, right?
Possibly, yeah. And I mean, obviously, you know, if there are those issues, seeing a psychologist who specializes in sex therapy kind of thing could also be helpful. But a urologist works often hand to hand.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want people who are listening to this and going, oh, that might be something for me to look into. They can just talk to their urologist or their doctor about it, right? They don't have to go to, you know, you don't have to feel right.
You can definitely find these kind of meds. I've heard from drug dealers those things that you see in like the gas station that have like, oh, we'll boost your erections kind of thing. Those honestly probably have some dose of the medication that are made that we don't even know how it's manufactured. So probably not the healthiest way to go about it.
No, but, don't do it that way. Talk to your doctor about it. If you've got a penis problem, talk to your doctor. Here at Fake Doctors, our advice is don't buy the gas station shit.
No, I saw a study. They, even those medications have the generic forms of Viagra and Cialis. And, you know, Viagra, Cialis, those kind of things can interact with other meds that you're taking. You might, if you're already taking it, you may have too high of a dose. So it's not regulated. That's the biggest problem.
Got it. So it's not advised to take Viagra and Cialis if you don't need it.
I wouldn't take it if you don't need it.
But also, last time you used the term for the amount of the time before you can go again.
Priapism.
No. When the amount of time before you can go again, what's that
called? Oh, yeah. Now I'm blanking out.
Your term was like your reset something. I forgot.
Let me find a real
set. Anyway, the point is that it also enables you to be right back at it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shoot.
Donald, I imagine you don't have that problem, but some men might have a problem where they would love to go again. And they need a reset time.
Refractory period.
Refractory period. Remember that from our first lesson with Dr. Pierce?
As you get older, your refractory period actually gets longer. So if that medication is helping you and you're...
There you go. So let's say you're with a woman. Let's say, Donald, Casey's like...
Zach, I love you.
And you're like, ooh, that turned me on. I wish I could go again and I had a shorter refractory period. Mm-hmm. Then the medicine would be right for you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, when you're a teenager, you could probably just, you know, go over and over and over.
Oh, yeah. I remember when you're a teenager, you're like in heat.
What about when you're 47?
Yeah, but you're a rare case. He's a rare case.
There's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, this is what I fear.
Oh, good for you.
This is what I fear, and I'm going to be honest with you right now. This is what I fear. I have a libido that's, like, through the roof right now. Mm-hmm. I fear that one day, out of nowhere, that shit just goes away.
I don't see it happening.
Okay.
I don't know anyone, doctor, with of any age. Well, I'm discounting teenagers who are going through puberty, but who has the libido that this 47-year-old man has. And I just mazel tov to him, but I don't think you should feel any shame or weirdness about it.
I don't feel any shame about it. I just worry that
I think Casey should be ready that you'll have it in 40 years from now when you're 87.
A word like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, why Casey, not?
I'm going to keep it 100. My grandfather, man, he's 90 something right now. Dude, I remember. So he came out here to LA when he was in his late 70s, right? Mm-hmm. And he came out to visit me. I was in my 20s or something like that, my mid 20s. And he came out and I took him all around. Scrubs was happening already. I took him all around Hollywood. I took him to the club. I took him to the strip club. I took him like everywhere. My grandfather, my almost 80 something year old grandfather, right? And I remember being like, Grandpa, we went out one night and somebody was dancing on him and everything and he was having a good old time. And I was like, Grandpa, did you feel any of this? He was like, oh boy. And I was like, wait, what?
Oh, my God.
Grandpa! What? What?
Grandpa. Things you don't want to hear from your grandpa.
Listen, I don't know, man. Most old people that I know, they're like, it's been a few years.
No, I mean, there's studies about like testosterone levels kind of slowly decreasing as you get older. And I think that's where the mindset is from. But first of all, if you're actually of an age where your testosterone is low, but and that's your symptom that your libido is low and you want your libido to come back to what it was, there are you can get testosterone treatment, which honestly is a whole other topic for misuse of testosterone in people.
But is testosterone the key thing that's affecting libido?
I mean, it's probably a number of things. I think that's kind of what a lot of people hold their hat on. Mm. It could be other health related issues. As people get older, they just have heart, lung, you know, all kinds of other issues that can kind of just make you less interested. But I mean, I think on the whole, you know, as men and women, it's not just men, like your libido can remain unchanged and you could, and both genders can.
Well, I'm sure Casey's in the other room praying that it eventually goes down.
No, I don't know that she's praying that it eventually goes down, but I definitely, you know, like I was told, you know, you hear all of these stories. You hear the story that as men get older, their libidos go away, and as women get older, their libido increases. And, you know, I find that to not be true. So,
anecdotally. Anecdotally, in Donald's situation, that doesn't need to be
true. I find that not to be true. Yeah, I think.
All right, let's try a new question. I think is it possible there are some internet stories where a woman had sex with two different men? One was white and one was black, very close together. Perhaps it was a threesome, whatever. There were two eggs in the chamber, if you will. And she got pregnant with twins and one was white and one black. Is that feasible?
I remember my wife telling me this story of something. I could not believe it. And I've never seen it in real life. I saw it on like a weird but strange but true in New York Post kind of deal.
There you go. Strange but true, Joelle.
Yeah. But I've read it, but I
Donald, I wish we could do
like
that
is there like why can't this happen? My question is, why can't this happen? Is there like a freaking Hunger Games event inside the uterus?
Well, you gotta
where
think
the
like
eggs
yeah,
go
the
at
sperm,
each other,
the fur,
like
the,
fighting
the, yes,
like no, I'm in this one. You can't, you know what I mean? Like how does
because normally women, when they ovulate one egg that goes into their uterus. And when you ejaculate sperm, it's millions of sperm.
No doubt.
Right. And so this, it's kind of
maybe
like,
more.
No doubt.
Maybe more.
Yeah. Here are maybe billions, but no, but then it's survival of the fittest. The sperm gets into the female.
Yeah. But sometimes
there's twins
though. Right.
That's so like woman
what we were
stop yeah, interrupting
but,
him. He's trying
I know,
to
but what we were saying is what if the two dudes combine their strength together?
Mm-hmm.
He's implying if it was a
double penetration
situation.
Exactly.
And they both time their ejaculation.
Intravaginal
yes,
at the
and
same
they time. Their, and they time their ejaculation at the same time and high five.
It said on three, two, one, and they both fight.
Doc,
and
is that possible? Is
serendipitous,
it possible?
Two eggs are there. Yeah, bam, bam.
Clearly it's possible. It's just like super duper rare because
yeah, we could do it.
Because
Donald,
you'd have to have ovulated two eggs, like I said, which already is not common. And
but sometimes
let him
two
finish,
hold on. Last thing. Sometimes two sperms can penetrate one egg, though.
No, then that so right when one sperm penetrates the egg kind of forms a reaction that it doesn't allow. It is sort of like a force field. It doesn't allow any other sperm to hit it. So that's why.
Oh,
so then what's the difference from maternal and
maternal
identical,
yeah.
Maternal and identical.
No, but that's later. That's to get identical twins is when the embryo kind of splits into two and creates that.
Yeah,
but
as someone with twins, you should probably know that. Okay, here we go. We have another.
I don't know much.
Okay,
but I know I love you.
The word "cum" is that something that is ever said in the medical community, or is that a word that should not be? Is that sort of slang and Do you use words in your office like ejaculate or
do you ever say
empty,
bust
empty, empty? Do you ever find yourself like talking to a patient and being like, so when you bust your next nut, or do you or do you have to keep it serious and say ejaculate?
That is a good question. And that's, I think that's why training is so long, because in my mind, you need to actively think about what the correct terms are that are respectful for the patient, first of all.
Right.
It's not just with sex, right? I mean, it's like anything where you want to use respectful terms to not.
But what if they come in?
Do you read the room? Like,
well, what if they come in? I was about to say, what if they come in like, Doc, every time I bust a nut, I fucking cannot fucking.
So then he has to be like.
The only time I would use unprofessional terms is when like my friends are calling me, asking me, urology or sex things. Then I'll be like, then I'll say, I think I can be a little less professional.
Right, I don't want. I don't even want to hear you say it now, Doc.
Now it sounds like it's a bad thing.
Now it sounds weird.
But I think
it's funny though. If you matched, like you have some nerdy guy coming like, yes, I'm having some ejaculation issues, and then you address them, and then you have Donald coming like, yo, when I'm busting,
what does
it
mean when fire shoot out my dick? let me get this straight. You're getting a burning sensation every time you ejaculate.
Yeah,
Doc. Fire shoots out my dick.
This should be
a burst of flames.
I would
a burst of flames shoots out my dick every time I pee. Mm-hmm. Can't pee in front of me.
I would watch a stop motion video of that character.
Alabama Jackson's probably going to get some sort of porn made into it.
Oh, please, God, yes. Thank you for the shout out, Dr. Penis.
Yes.
Thank you for the shout out.
Do you have any other questions for Dr. Brick, Donald, while we have him?
I have several questions
for Donald. Do you have any questions for Dr. Brick?
I want to save it for next time. Come on.
Daniel, you don't have to be shy. It feels like you're really you're like in the fetal position. Are we embarrassing you in front of Dr. Brick?
You're a part of this show too. Unlike when you're doing the New Girl.
Yeah, I know this isn't going to be on the New Girl when you do that podcast. They're probably not going to have Dr. Penis,
and they're not going to ask you questions either. So you know, take advantage of it.
But since Joelle's the producer, they'll probably copy us and have here's Dr. Vagina.
Oh boy. Well, first off, shout out Dr. Brick on that awesome sweatshirt you are wearing. Thank you so much for
that
repping
is a
the brand.
Sweatshirt.
Thank you so much.
Yes, NYU in the house,
my
too.
My wife got me for Hanukkah
Dr. Brick
year.
Is wearing a merch.
Yeah, but he has
lots of merch.
He has an NYU shirt.
I'm repping my NYU
shirt. I'm wearing my Northwestern shirt.
Oh, baby. Nice.
College.
I didn't go to college. Sorry.
Joelle, do you have any questions from a female point of view for an expert like this?
I will think of some for next time. I will come up with some good lady questions for penis doctor.
My wife had a good name for the podcast or whatever.
What is,
your slate.
What is it? What is it?
Pee time with Dr. Penis.
Wow.
Pee time. I like that.
Wow.
I'm trying to think. We got him. Is there anything else you want to ask?
While you're thinking, I just want to point out in my back to my left over here, I have the sex gong and also... the tiki torch necklace.
Wow, you're a mega fan, Doctor.
One of my good friends got me both of those things, and he has them also. So you know, it's a good stuff.
Love that you're a mega fan, and we're a mega fan of yours. Thank you for answering all of our penis questions. Donald, anything else you want to say?
Yeah. So there is nothing out there that can make it bigger, eh?
Yeah. No. Nothing. I mean, but it's not all about that, right? Like, it's about...
Speak for yourself, Doc! No, just kidding.
No, I'm telling you. It's like, you know...
Why would you want to go bigger? You're like a guy with a triple XL.
No,
like,
I'm not talking 4XL? About... Listen. I think any guy who watches porn will... It's a mind fuck, first of all. So, you know...
Yeah, that's the whole issue.
Yeah, but these men have been chosen because they have...
Absolutely. Absolutely, but if you watch that shit, you get caught up in, I don't look like that.
What about those men who have been really born with a micro penis, like a really, really tiny, nothing? Is there anything that can be done for those men?
I mean, they usually have seen like a pediatric urologist when they're kids, and there are surgeries that you can do, because the bigger issue is kind of, it's oftentimes with you're urinating and those kind of things as a kid, because the hole often is not at the tip in patients who have like small phalluses. So you know, you can actually give them some testosterone, which can help, but there are surgeries that you can kind of do and that can make it look more normal, and as they grow it should grow. Mm-hmm. That's kind of it. There's a lot.
Do you watch Dave, the show Dave?
Yeah. All right, that's what he has.
So he has this thing where he has to. I don't know if he fixed it or not, but he had to cover a hole in order for it to pee through the urethra.
Right. So and he describes it. He has it's called hypospadia. So if my finger is a penis, usually the hole is at the tip.
Mm.
It can the hole can kind of be at any point.
Oh my God!
Along the penis that you're born with.
Wow.
And the closer to the tip it is, kind of the less severe. I don't know where his hole was, but it was somewhere.
Yeah.
As often these are treated as when you're an infant or a child, which is a whole other separate issue about intersex development issues and.
Right. Let's not go down that road. But I'm saying that sounds fixable. Yeah, why wouldn't someone like that
fixed? Yeah. One of the complications is that it kind of reopens, and I think what happened to him is that it reopened, and to fix it, it would be a more extensive surgery, and he didn't want to do that. And so he just holds his finger. From what it sounded like on the TV show, if he holds his finger over that hole, then the pee will come out the normal hole instead
of going that. Wow. I kind of wanted to see it. They talk about it so much in the show. I thought the show is so graphic. I thought they were going to cut to it.
No, in training, I've done so many surgeries, like the primary surgery and even the repair of that complication.
What if Donald wanted to add a second hole on purpose?
No,
would he be
no.
allowed?
I want to get back to my
Prince Albert, right?
Does that do anything for you though? Does that make anything better? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's the point of doing these things?
You don't need a second hole.
It's like a piercing. I don't know. What if someone
piercing?
Like, what's the point of getting it if it doesn't make sex better?
That's on our new merch that's coming to you.
Real talk. Like, why would I don't know. Anyway,
Dr. Brick, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for being a fan. And we hope you'll come back and join us. And by then, hopefully, we'll have a theme song for you.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
All right. The thunderous applause for Dr. Brick / Dr. Penis. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This has been great.
All right, I think that's it, guys. I think we did it. We did the show.
We did it. Not only did we do it. I'm going to be honest with you. I felt a little rusty.
I feel a little rusty too.
Coming back to it. I'm not going to lie to you. You guys
got one more episode in season 5, and then it's time for season 6. And goodness knows what that will bring.
I mean, there's an amazing. There's so much good urology stuff that's coming.
Dr. Brick, we gave you your exit applause. You're not really supposed to be talking.
he's right. Turk's nut. Turk's bionic nut.
We'll have you
nut.
Back on when we talk about the Turk's special nut.
He has a bionic nut, pretty much.
And it gives off heat when we go camping. Remember? And we gather around your nut.
That's bionic. Yeah. No, would that be bionic? Because of it's, I don't know.
We'll don't tell us, Dr. Brick. We'll save
Dr.
it for
Brick, find out then.
You don't ever hear about implants.
He's not supposed to talk anymore. We've given him his exit
time,
applause.
Next time.
All right.
All right, everybody. We love you. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Donald, sit down.
5, 6, 7, 8. Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a